Spirit will be the teacher. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we will yield to what you want to speak to us, and that we will not fill our minds, but that you will fill our hearts. Oh, loving Lord Jesus, we tremble at your word. And it is not easy to give forth much truth, be easily declared as a false witness. For we know, O God, in our hearts, we do not live up to the truth that we teach. We know, O Lord Jesus, that our hearts and our feet are set toward you. We desire your will after righteousness. And we desire, O Lord, to learn of you. And we know, O God, that you are gracious to the student who comes into your presence, sitting at your feet, wanting to be taught your way. And Lord, we are all of us sitting at your feet this morning, asking that you, the next step in our way, in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, before we start our new chapter, which is Proverbs 18, very briefly, I want to return to an aspect of our learning together, which perhaps it's spring cleaning time. I don't know whether you've had the experience I've had occasionally. When I start to clean some shelves, I'm delighted to discover treasures I'd forgotten that were there. And I think it's time to sort of go into our spiritual study nooks and dust off some of the materials that we've had and that we have enjoyed, but which we've neglected and put away in the corner. And one organization packet that we had perhaps last year, the little packets that come in various colors, and like this, in which we have our memory verse on a card. This packet can stand on your counter or wherever you're doing your ironing so that you can wash dishes or you can iron and also be hot. And then there are little pockets inside where the verses that you've already learned and so on you can put in there. And these are the memory verses. Now I have selected these as ones which I have felt were particularly significant verses, all ones around which we had a teaching with a theme verse. Some precious verses that if you continue with your own private study, a chapter of Proverbs a day, what you're going to find yourself doing is adding to this list so that some of the chapters you will have two or three verses. Very briefly, I will, and we will not go into any of the memorization work this morning, but I would like to think that we will be able to have some time, 5 or 10 minutes at least, to sort of do a little a memorizing exercise. 123, chapter 123, turn you at my reproof, and so on. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Yeah, these are all proverbs, memory verses. 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. So on. 4:18. But the path of the just is as a shining light, shineth more and more. 5:21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. In chapter 6, we took a selection of verses rather than one, and it was 6:20 to 23. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and so on. 7:2. Keep my commandments and live. 8:17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding.
10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. 11:16. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. 12:7. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. 13:15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. 14:1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. 15:13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. 16:9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Now today, chapter 18:14 is the theme verse of this chapter, according to our study. And that is going to be, a man's spirit shall sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Now, perhaps if we do some homework memorization work next week, or 2 weeks from now, that gives us 2 weeks. That's a good idea. And then in 2 weeks, we have a little review. I feel as if I'm better at it than I'm not doing it in front of you all, but so take heart, we all stumble along together. As I read Proverbs 18, I was amazed at all the insight that this one chapter has on a wounded spirit. And I thought we would look at that topic through this one chapter in particular, with really small reference to other places in the Bible, though there's much about it. And before we read it, I would just like to differentiate between a wound and a wounded spirit. A sort of like, shall we say, what's the word I'm looking for? The meaning of it. A wound is an offense or an injury, definition, a blow. And a wounded spirit is the response to that injury or that blow. Now one could say this, that a wound is the fault of the wounder. But a wounded spirit is the fault of the receiver. Now, this is looking at it from God's point of view. It's not man's point of view. It's not the way we think. It is only the way that the wisdom of God can reveal to us. All right?
Could you repeat that?
Yes. These definitions. A wound is an offense or an injury or a blow. And a wounded spirit is the response to that blow. And the difference between a wound and a wounded spirit, from another point of view, is that a wound is the fault of the wounder. The one who has given the blow, that's what the wound is. We may suffer a wound, but we do not need to suffer a wounded spirit. The wound is given to us, but the wounded spirit is something we receive. It's the fault of the receiver. In other words, a one who suffers from a wounded spirit, and you know, I probably think that it wouldn't be statistically, spiritually, medically in error to say that every last one of us would have that diagnosis before the great physician. I really don't suppose there's any of us that hasn't suffered a degree of wounded spirit. Therefore, I think this chapter speaks to every one of us, why I feel it's so precious to me. A wounded spirit means that we have willed not to accept the blow as God intended. If we suffer a wounded spirit, it means that we have willed not to accept the blow as God intended.
Margaret, are you speaking, I always thought wounded spirit, I always got that applied mostly to say, for instance, to people's past, and so far when I read that scripture, I always thought that that was really wounded spirit too, that God was healing. So that this, though, still applies, a wounded spirit is really the fault there of themselves too, right? A small child, because they are reacting, well, I mean, but we have
you
to
mean
accept it out true.
Childhood blows, you mean?
Yeah, and you know, it warps personalities. That to me is a wounded spirit, but that's the fault of the one wounded too.
Yes.
Good. That's, I mean, it's interesting.
Yes.
It's a whole new thing.
It's a double fault. In a case like that, the one who gives the wound is at fault, and the one who bears the wounded spirit is at fault. And until we are ready to recognize that truth, I don't think we can be healed.
What's a grieving spirit then?
A grieving spirit, are you referring to, a grieving spirit sustained becomes, I would say, a wounded spirit. Now there's a place of grief, but I'd say a wounded spirit has two ingredients to it, murmuring and rebellion. I would say rebellion is the root. Murmuring or complaining or grieving is the fruit. The deep cause is an unwillingness to accept what has come to us through somebody else, through a circumstance, or whatever, and to see that as from, let me start that again. An unwillingness to receive what has been given to us in the way that God intended. In other words, when God allows us to be dealt a blow in life, he intends a blessing from it. He does. He just does. And I know what I'm talking about from both sides. I know what it is to come under the bitterness of a wounded spirit, to be healed from it, and the blessing that comes from it. And I know that many of you know the same thing. But let's go on and just see what we can find out of this chapter. And I love the way that you participate. I want to encourage that. If you have an insight that came to you, please don't impoverish us by holding it to yourself. Because we are so blessed by little questions or insights or illustrations. And we must have time for those. All right, we'll just read through the chapter first with the thought of wounds and wounded spirits and see then what we will find. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. That's a very difficult verse in the King James. It's a man having estranged himself seeks pretext to break out against all sound judgment. It would be another way of translating that, which makes more sense. Then a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. And that means to express its own opinions. And when the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy, reproach. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. Before destruction the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. The lot causeth contentions to cease, and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. All right. The first little topic I'd like to say, what are some of the vital signs of a wounded spirit? When I was in hospital recently with my father in Canada, they kept saying his vital signs are fine. And what do they mean by that? They meant the important signs that indicated the state of his well-being, his pulse and blood pressure and various aspects like that. What are signs that significantly speak to the condition of each of us, whether or not we have a wounded spirit, spiritual symptoms? And the first one I see is in verse 1, and that is estrangement, a kind of broken relationship, whether it be from an individual, a member of a family, or whether it be from a church or a group of people, where we find ourselves seeking pretexts. In other words, finding reasons, rationalizing reasons for maintaining an estrangement. And I think that perhaps the only way we can discern that is if we are humble enough to come before the Lord to say, you take my pulse, and see if there's a throb beat of conscience that goes with it. There's a time and a way of being separated, and a time and a way of being separated in estrangement. And the estrangement is not the physical separation, the estrangement is the heart separation. It's a heart vital sign. And if our heart is not at peace when the Lord examines us as we come to him, then we are sure then that estrangement is a vital sign of a wounded spirit. The second vital sign in verse 17, he that is first in his own cause seems just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. I call this a prejudiced story, a one-sided one. I think this is one we see when we counsel with those in broken marriages so often. You hear the one side of the story, and it does seem as if he's been a brute and a beast and has been the sole donor of the blows. But then again, the second part of that verse indicates that the neighbor or the enemy, or the other marriage partner comes, and when you hear both sides of the story, one realizes that there are always two sides, as we put it. So a prejudiced outlook or a prejudiced story. Then a third Bible sign in verse 19, it says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Harder to be won. Why is that? It's not that there hasn't been initiatives and overtures from the other side to win them back, but there is strong defense, a resistance to reconciliation. A resistance to reconciliation. In other words, this party, one of the actions that come from this wounded spirit is returning evil for good. Perhaps the offending donor of the blows, the other party, now wants to bring about a healing and tries different ways to restore a relationship. But when we are offended, when we're suffering from a wounded spirit, it's so deep that we just resist it. We don't want it. We don't want to come back to where we can be vulnerable, where we might be hurt again. And also for some, it's like enjoying the misery. There's a sense in which I've had a wound and I want to nurse it for a while in a sling so that all my friends can see it. There's a certain kind of, as Harold Hill says, pity party syndrome that goes with this. A kind of feeling, poor me, I'm just going to suffer all alone here. Then in the second part of that same verse is anger or hatred. And it's also often concealed. This kind of anger, which is long-term, usually goes deep. We don't usually stay at a high temperature for a long time. Angry at a long time, we simply explode. Something would happen to us physically. Our adrenaline output wouldn't be able to handle it physically. So what we do is we put it deeper and deeper down into our system. And there has to be some outlet for that kind of emotion, so it works within us like a poison. Instead of exploding out in a fight, it goes inside and destroys us. It's self-destructive. And so then you have the physical symptoms, which become the visible sign. If we don't explode with the mouth outwardly, the next thing is we're going to explode with our skin in a rash, or going to bed with an ulcer or something else. Arthritis, not saying that all these things are just caused by that. These are some of the things that are sometimes highly influenced by this. If you look at Proverbs 26, just go on a few chapters to 22 to 28, gives a little illustration here of just that very thing. It says the words of a talebearer are wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly, into the innermost parts of the being of a person. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. You see, it's a form of anger and hatred. He that hateth dissembleth or deceives with his lips and layeth up the deceit within him. You know, I used to think, what is wrong about wearing a mask? We're told about we shouldn't wear masks all the time, we should just be honest. But I thought to myself, if I am really disliking my neighbor, and I'm angry at that neighbor, they come here to my house knocking on the back door, wouldn't it be the right thing and the Christian thing to put on a smile and greet them kindly? You know, I mean, after all, if that's a mask for the real me inside, at least I'm trying to act out the right thing, aren't I? I used to feel that way. until I saw that in God's sight, you know, it's the same old thing as it says in Samuel. Man looks on the outward appearance, so you look like a very nice neighbor, gracious neighbor. But God looks in the heart, and God will not stand for deceit in us. And it helps me to realize that so that I deal with it, you see. So we don't cover it up with a smiling face. It says here, he that hates and deceives with his lips, he's laying up deceit within him. And that's going to come out in boils some way. It's going to hurt the person who has it. They are going to be the victim, not the object of the hate, but the one hating. And in verse 23, when he speaks fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. And then look at this. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. So that's why we just need to be honest before the Lord and honest before one another and be willing to admit, yes, I do have in my heart something that's negative, anger or despising or whatever may be that negative sin, and give it to the Lord. It's very helpful to do that. And I have found sometimes, for instance, that I'll hear something and I ought to be glad about it, but there'll be a little uncomfortable feeling inside. And I think, not depression, but just a kind of unhappy feeling inside. And then I thought, now why am I going around with this? What is it that... And I have to stop. The thing is, we're so naturally deceived that we are self-deceived. I am learning as I'm getting older. I'm just coming into some of these things. Even in recent months, the Lord is teaching and teaching us. Always we're going to be learning. I'm coming to a place where I can stop and say, my peace has gone. Now what is it? It's because of that news that I heard. What was wrong with that news? It was good news. Yes, but it was good news for Mrs. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so. It wasn't good news for you. And your reaction is jealousy. Mm-hmm. And do you know, when you recognize that, what do you do with it? You don't turn around, give yourself a spanking, won't help at all. You say, Lord, forgive me. Bless that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving that favor to that person or whatever it is that's happened. Do you know jealousy goes like that? Mm-hmm. Now, I have known what it is to have a wounded spirit for months on end. The very first year we were married, I was thrown in a dreadful situation. To me, at that time, it was dreadful. I've since been thrown into situations 10 times more dreadful and discovered the peace of God. So there's hope for everybody. There really is. I am so thrilled to know that the Christian life is for real. And that he does cleanse us. He does heal us when we come to him. But a secret is, like it is in the natural, if you have a broken thumb, you'd be smart. Immediately, you have had your prayer to the Lord God Almighty to go and have it properly taken care of, in terms of having it x-rayed, surgery if necessary, wrapped in bandages, whatever. If you choose to wound, to nurse that little fractured thumb for maybe a month, the chances of the healing of it's just going to be more difficult, right? And it's the same with a wounded spirit. If we have a broken heart and we hold to it for about a month or 2 months, it has set in a wrong direction, and there's a much more of a breaking required. It's almost as if you have to re-break that thumb then to set it right, and God has to re-break our hearts to set them right. And so it's not much better to go straight to the Lord, and as I find the healing, we get instant healing that way. Whereas the other way, it's long term. All right. Now I suggest that you get a piece of paper, and if you want another one, we should pass it around again for those of you who would like to make a chart. We're going to do a little chart study on these four questions. How do we give a wounded spirit? How do we get a wounded spirit? How do we heal others, or heal a wounded spirit in others? And how do we heal a wounded spirit in ourselves? Into this one chapter for the information. To give a wounded spirit, to get one, to heal others, and to heal ourselves. All right. Now, let's look at verse 2 for the first giving. Verse 2, how do we give a wounded spirit? One of the ways is found in chapter 18, verse 2. It says, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. In other words, may express its own opinion. I would say then that hasty words, being quick to give out our own feelings and our opinions. Then comes the question, well, is it supposed to be spiritual and Christian to hold it in? And I'm so glad to be able to review one little thought that we had last week about this. The question came up last week, are the children supposed to express their opinions, or are they supposed to keep silent? What is the Christian way of handling irritations, anger, and so on? And I think an important verse, which I was trying to recall the reference of, but I couldn't, is in Proverbs 29:11. That's really worth looking that up. Proverbs 29:11. It says, a fool uttereth all his mind. Doesn't it give you a kind of catharsis? Mm-hmm. It says you've at least got it off your chest. But we are fooled to do that, because while we're getting it off our chest, we're putting it into another chest. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in. Does it say that? Until afterwards. So scripture is really profound in its insights. You can't fault it with all the modern psychology and so on. There is a place for communication, but as we said, communication afterwards, when we're going to speak with cool spirits and not with hot hearts, and that then we can be calm and we can really talk one-to-one. Maybe it would be good when we've had a particularly hot issue between ourselves and a child or whatever it be, to bring it up another day and to even let that day go, and then say, could we talk? And then what do we do? Do we say, now let's get that straightened out. This is what I was going to say, and this is what I was going to do. No? Start that kind of a conversation by saying, I am sorry, or will you forgive me for the way in which I responded in that conversation, the way I showed my anger, or the way I hurt you, or whatever. If we start on that foot, do you know what? The other party will communicate. Immediately there'll be a healing. Immediately.
Yes. This happened last week with my sister-in-law and I, who comes here but isn't here today. We went to a prayer meeting last Thursday evening, and we're both new in the spirit. And she said something, and I said, well, you should have done this. And immediately when I said it, I said, it's really swell the way we know each other's spirit. I knew immediately she cooled. You know, I could just feel it. And I got home and I dialed the phone and I apologized. And I said to my husband, did you know something was wrong? He said, no, I didn't know what you said would offend her like that. But I said, how well, I knew her spirit and I hurt her. But then I said, I was sorry. So then she apologized for something which happened about 3 months ago here that she said to me, and I didn't even realize, you know, she hurt my feelings. She called me a big mouth, kiddingly, and I am when her and I are together. And that was bothering her for about 3 months. But by me saying, and it's very hard to say you're sorry. It really is.
Thank you so much. All right, and in verse 13, too, says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame to him. And actually, there are three verses in this one chapter warning about hasty words, hasty opinions, verses 2, 13, and 17. So three times we're warned about this impulsive talking, this quick reaction with words. So that's a way of giving it. A second way of giving is verse 5, where it says, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. This is a matter of injustice or favoritism. We call it partiality in verse 5. Particularly it's felt by the employee from an employer, but I think, you know, our children are very sensitive to that. I know that in our household, I just have to be so careful that I love each, not exactly in the same way, especially when you have boys and girls, it's a different way, but to love them each with all your heart. I think if we seek to love them each with all our heart, God will give us the grace to act in ways that will be fair, so that we check our own hearts. Are we having favorites in our hearts? If we are, it's bound to come out in our words or in our acts. And then a third way in which we give a wounded spirit to somebody is in verse 6, where it says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. And that's quarreling. And as we mentioned before, the ingredient of quarreling and contention is pride. That it's healthy to have a difference of opinion. It's good to be able to discuss it, debate a cause. But if it becomes an argument, then it's become me against you, and therefore I'm trying to rise above you. That's pride. And then the fourth way in which we can give a wounded spirit is in verse 8, where it says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Talebearing, especially when it's from friends who you trust and who have turned around and been disloyal. So those are four different ways in which, even in this chapter, we see we can give blows. There are countless many others, but we're looking in this one place today. All right, how can we get a wounded spirit? In verse 3, we find one way. It says, when the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. I don't know what your versions have for that, but in... there are three words for shame. So it's sin and shame. It's not when the wicked people come, but when wickedness comes. When sin comes, there is shame. And shame is the triple aspect here described of shame, to show that this is the component of sin that is emphasized, shame. And shame becomes a wounded spirit. It's a progression of sin and shame and wounded spirit. In contrast to the glory, which is the component of holiness, God intends that we be a separated people and a glory to God. Now, what kind of a sin might this be that would end up in this way. And I thought there was an excellent illustration right in our own book. In Proverbs 6, and in verse 32, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach, his shame, shall not be wiped away. And so the wounded spirit, now that is speaking in the natural. God has made a way where that can be healed. So we don't leave it there. With the New Testament revelation, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ said to that woman caught in adultery in that circle, as he wrote in the sand, and he said to her, neither do I condemn thee. So that for us today, we do not need to continue with a wounded spirit. But until Jesus heals that wound, we have given ourselves a wound when we have opened ourselves to sin. And that goes for all kinds of sin, but we'll just take that one as an illustration. And then another way in which we get a wounded spirit is in verse 7, where it says, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Here it's anger verbalized, anger confirmed. It's bad to have it in the heart. It's doubly bad to have it in the mouth, and then thirdly, to act it out. There are three dimensions of sin, three levels of sinning, in the thought life, in the spoken life, and in the action life. And the way in which we come to healing of a wounded spirit, as we know it in these ways, is that we have to confess each of these to the in the levels where we are. If we have acted out, then we have to make restitution. If we have spoken out, we go to the people we've spoken to. And just as a word of warning, if I spoke to Sally something bad about Mary, I don't go to Mary and say, I'm awfully sorry, Mary, what I said to Sally about you. You know, that isn't the way. That's not wisdom. I go to Sally and say, I was wrong in speaking about Mary, you see. So that we go to the party that we have wronged, the party we've spoken to, and cleanse it and erase it there. If she has passed it on to somebody else, that's her problem to get that straightened out. And then the thing is cut off and healed. If it's in our thought life, I don't have to go say, Mary, I've thought these things about you. Not unless, of course, because I have thought them for a prolonged time, she's caught the spirit of it and has been hurt by it. But if it's just a passing thought, a judgmental feeling or whatever, I confess that to God, and he will heal me and forgive me.
Please stop your machine.